And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma, and we have a great guest for you today from BD Outdoors and just a great fishing expert. Eric Landeskind is here, and we're going to be talking big calicos, big tuna, big yellowtail, and a whole lot more, so you stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs. Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? Then they've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up. Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our Lime Margarita, Tiki Rum Mai Tai, Vodka Mule, or Mango Margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. What a great show today's going to be, and what good time to have a guy like Eric in here. We kind of talked about it yesterday. I mean, there's good fishing damn near everywhere right now, and to have a guy on that does damn near everything is pretty good timing, man. It's going to be a fucking show.
For sure. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you. Of course, we see a lot of you on Facebook, Instagram, and also Zipson Coast Sport Fishing and BD Outdoors, right? We get to follow your escapades on the water in all those venues because you do a lot of outdoor riding.
I do, yeah. And I've also just started doing some videos as well, and I definitely have a face for radio, but the BD wanted to expand a little bit on the weekly report I've been doing the SoCal scene for about, I've been doing that for almost 10 years now, but we converted over to video now, and so I had to build a little video studio in my garage, and I go in there and I sweat very heavily in the afternoons these days because it's hot.
Yeah. The SoCal scene, though, is really cool. Like, you basically kind of compile everything's going down, up and down the beach, the trends, the fishing, the weather, and kind of build a, you kind of basically build a game plan on what you'd be doing based on the conditions and the fishing given.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. And one of the advantages of going over to video now is I can actually, you know, I would be limited by how much I could write. They'd wanted about 1,100 words, and you can really not squeeze a whole lot in there. What I've been doing with these videos is they're normally about 10 minutes long. Sometimes I go 15 minutes, but I talk about what's biting, what people are catching, what's happening in the different areas in Southern California. But then I also try and give a little bit of information about what I'm doing or things I'm seeing or strategy. So, you know, if guys want to watch these videos, even if they're not going fishing the next day or over the weekend, they can get a little, it's like a mini seminar every week.
Cool.
And I talk about
it. It's once a week?
Yeah, it goes on the BD side every Friday morning.
Okay.
It's on their YouTube channel whenever I get it done. So usually sometime between Wednesday and Friday, it'll be up on the BD Outdoors YouTube.
And it's free.
It's free. Yep. And so I tried to make it something that if somebody listens every week or watches every week, throughout the year they're going to find out a lot of information about the different stuff that I fish for. And like you guys said, I do fish for a variety of things. I'm not just
How many days a week do you fish?
1 to 3, depending.
1 to 3, yeah. That's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I follow you and see what's going on. It's like, man, good. Get out there. Calico fishing yesterday, for example, right?
Yeah, it was fantastic up at Palos Verdes.
Yeah, and, big fish.
Yeah, we got some real nice ones. And you know,
the MC weedless.
That's right, 7-inch weedless in the hot Koch color with a red tail. Yeah, it's changed up. You got bored with just the same color all the time.
Wow.
But... what's interesting is I had to go up there to shoot photos for an article that's coming up on PCS, but I wouldn't have gone there otherwise. I probably would have went to Clemente or something like that. But, you know, just to go up there, and it's not always great fishing up there, but if you have days like we had yesterday where we just saw a ton of big fish, we got a couple of nice ones, it's a pretty incredible fishery, and I appreciate it much more because it's not easy. It's not like going to Clemente and loading up, you know, every cast on 5-pounders and stuff.
I know very little of that area just from being down here, from not going up that way much. But the one thing you hear about it is that it can be an extremely humbling place to try and catch a fish, but also has the ability to kick out some really big ones.
Yeah, that's really the case. You know, it's there's a ton of kelp up there. It would be if Point Loma was, you know, 15 miles long. I don't know if it isn't, but I don't think so. But, you know, you just have endless kelp, endless rock, endless everything, but there's a finite amount of bass in there, and they move around quite a bit. They're not stationary. It's not like you can go to a spot where, oh, I get calicos here all the time.
Right.
You can have, you know, 5 miles of kelp, and they're going to be biting somewhere in there, but you have to find it.
Yeah. And yesterday you said the conditions were just right. And that's a place where it's got to be conditions, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's kind of anytime you fish bass or anything else, conditions are very important. But as an example there, you know, we had a tremendous amount of current that was pulling all the kelp well below the surface, you know, 10, 15 feet below the surface. And while there's bass out in that, the bigger bass are not going to burn the energy to swim in that because there's a lot of – just to hold their place, they got to exert a lot of energy. And so the bigger bass will tend to – tuck into an eddy where the kelp is actually to the surface, and they'll hunt on that edge waiting for baitfish to come by. That edge is normally, you know, out in 40 or 50 feet of water, but yesterday it was in like 20 to maybe 12 feet of water, and you can target a lot of areas where you don't normally get fish.
Right.
And those bigger bass...
Because you can get in there, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times those bigger bass congregate in there. Well, the smaller ones haven't learned enough to go into those zones, so you can actually target bigger fish that way. And I mean, a 10-pound calico is, you know, 40 years old.
Oh.
So they've had a long time up there to figure that stuff out.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
probably
awesome.
Seen a lot of baits and probably lived in a lot of areas where they, get messed with and then don't, you know, like you say, 40 years at anything, you kind of start to figure it out.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Especially in a place like that, right?
Right.
That fish has probably lived there for 40 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Actually, a few years ago, I wrote an article for the Bite magazine that was a story of a calico bass. Lifespan, and I compared it to my own when there was marine land used to be there at Palos Verdes, and I was a kid, I'd look down at the kelp beds down there and wonder about all the fishing possibilities, and I imagined that there could have been a young calico in that kelp bed that I was looking at then. And then I kind of compared their lifespan to the things that happened overall, the fact that marine land's not there anymore, and all these changes have happened to all these things, but that bass has still lived there that entire time.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Figured out how to thrive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
cool. And as we know, because I used to spend a lot of time up there when I was a kid, it's so much cleaner now than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that area was like DDT central, right?
Yeah, and they've done a lot of kelp restoration to make up for that. And they put in a bunch of rock off White Point stuff, and the kelp up there, as everywhere this year, it's a lot more kelp, but it's there's kelp in areas I've never seen kelp up there before now.
That's great. It really has come back in a big way. Because I remember when I was a kid, there was virtually no kelp, right?
Well, yeah, Russ Iser went up and when he had the first string, he actually went and replanted a bunch of kelp because it was all an urchin barren up there back in the, I think, the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm just to go back to PV, just I'm so curious about it, and I love stuff like that, especially things I don't know about. You know, you talked about having huge stretches and, you know, they would be in a little spot. When you find the condition that's right in an area like PV, do they cluster up and do you catch a bunch of them, or is it still isolated fish? It just, you know, it sounds like that's such a vast area. Like, so you gotta find it. Once you find it, is it game on, or is it still kind of isolated fish here, fish there?
Well, you know, you can, during the summer, they'll normally be schooled up. During the winter, they spread out a bit more. And, you know, we kind of hamstring ourselves by only fishing surface lures. So we have to not only find bass that are biting, but we have to find bass that are biting in the top 5 feet of the water column, which they'll do year-round if you go, you know, if the water is cold, go fish shallower because the fish will still be in, you know, that depth range. But in the summer, you can find them. They'll be grouped up where you'll get a stretch where you go maybe 20, 30 yards and get, you know, shots at 5 or 6 bites per cast, you know, per angler casting. And other times they'll be spread out throughout the kelp, but they'll line up on the outside edge of a kelp bed or something like that. But when I go up there or anywhere, my first drift through something, I always drift. I don't put the trolling motor down. I fish from the console. I have a guy casting in the bow, either Jimmy or Matt, and I just kind of nudge the boat on the main through the zone. Because it's easier. The guy's trying to fight with a trolling motor in the bow, it's not going to be effectively casting. So I'll just point the boat in a direction, and they'll make the cast. So I'm basically steering them to the stringers I want them to cast at. But as I go through a zone the first time, I'm paying attention to where it starts, where it stops, and then I'll go through again and refine my, you know, maybe I'll go a little further into the bed. Maybe I'll stay on the outside. And I'll see where it's biting, and then once you get that figured out, you can go through there multiple times and catch fish.
That's cool.
So it's a matter of, it's a zonal thing for calicos. It's like they're biting here, but they're not biting there?
Well, it's not that they're not biting. The ones that are feeding are going to be in the highest percentage area on whatever day that is. And usually that's the leading edge of the bed. But in certain areas, it might be on the outside edge of the bed, depending on current direction and things like that. You know, and sometimes they'll be at the back of a bed just because there's an eddy back there that, you know, maybe there's some rock that'll aggregate bait. So they try and put themselves in a place that they can most easily intercept bait fish coming down. And the bigger fish that I've learned over the years up there, especially because you go to a place like San Clemente Island or Point Loma, there's most of the fish are about the same size. They're all nicer fish. At PV, there's a lot of small fish, and the bigger fish don't like to compete with those smaller fish. So the smaller fish will be on the leading edge, and those bigger fish might be back 20 or 30 feet back in the bed waiting for bait fish that got by those smaller fish.
So how do you get into a thick kelp bed?
You don't. You don't. If it's thick, you're not going
to... Yeah, you have to wait for the current, like a current situation like yesterday.
Current, right? And, you know, most of the bass you're going to catch around a kelp bed are going to be on the isolated stringers that are the ones that you have an obvious lane to drift through or cast through. Bass can't hunt it, so there's no reason for bait fish to go into a wall of kelp.
You're right.
They're not... They swim around looking to feed and not get fed upon. So they're not going to go into some dark alley.
where they're going to get eaten.
That's funny.
So you special out of Clemente, and we were talking about like the combo trip right now where you can go catch bluefin, yellowtail, bass, everything right now at Clemente. Do you do all that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of my favorite things to do during the summer. We've not been doing it as much this year because we've had a lot of weather out there, but normally we'll start off on the up around Gold Bluff, which is about two-thirds of the way up the front side of the island towards the west end. Look for yellows in the morning. Sometimes we'll get one or two. Then run up to the west end itself, fish calicos, and then peel off the island and look for tuna or marlin. We were running down the island one day and found a swordfish just like 200 yards off the island, baited that, and caught bluefin on the way home.
That's a good day.
Yeah, cool.
That's a good day. So what's your favorite? If Eric had to choose one, what's your favorite kind of fishing?
Yeah, good question.
You do a lot.
Rock cod.
Rock cod, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. I love rock cod fishing.
I, you know,
wait, you're sitting with rock cod.
I love it, man.
For me, and I'm sure you get a ton of flack for saying that, but there's a lot that goes into it, especially if you're the guy behind the throttle.
Like. Right, yeah, and that's I love the strategy of it, and I love, the cool thing about fishing rock cod especially is you'll drop down, you have no idea what you're going to get. It's like a variety thing. Anything else you fish for, you're pretty much sure what you're going to catch, you know, and that's just... I appreciate all kinds of fishing, but I like that technically because I've gotten to the point where I've done it enough that I can look at my meter and I can see what kind of fish I'm stopping on and identify the things that I want to target. And again, I'm very specific in how I target. I only use a 8-inch MC slug on a lead head.
Wow.
So I have to fish shallow enough that I can get a 3-ounce bait down. And
so how shallow would that be?
It could be 300 feet on a calm day. It could be 80 feet, depending on where, you know, if I go up to, you know, Point Conception or San Miguel or a place like that,
sure,
you could get a lot shallower. But I like to target the bigger reds and things like that. And I found that regardless of where they are, they mark the same. They relate to structure in the same way. And now with all the new charting software and everything, we have the new Simrad chart on our boat now. And it's the detail of those charts allows me to find very small pieces of structure that, you know, might be 10 feet across. And a lot of times if that's in an area where there's more structure, those very small spots will have the bigger fish and makes for fun fishing.
That's the thing that I love about it, is a giant reef that is very well known, that has been fished by every skiff and every sport boat for the last 50 years is one thing, but when you're on your own boat and you're only trying to catch fish for two or three buds, you could fish a spot that's the size of your table and pick off two or three good ones. And if you do that five or six times, it's a challenge in boat positioning, and it's a challenge in, you know, you missed it the first time and you got on it right the second time, and like that's the fun of it. And then if what that thing kicks out is a handful of 3 or 4 pound reds, like, you had an awesome day.
Yeah.
That's the fun of it.
For sure. And so you said you're fishing the 7-inch MC slug?
No, the 8-inch.
The big one.
Let it. And I've actually...
You fished the glow one, or you...
No, I fished... We have that color called hot cotch, which is the green, sparkling, okay, gold, and we just fish everything on that.
Three ounce lead head, you pin any bait on it?
No. So what I've done, if you guys go on my... I have my own YouTube page.
Okay.
I do this lead head modification where I take a 2-ounce or 3-ounce, basically a bullet lead head, and I cut the hook off, and I put I drill a hole in the base of the lead head, and I put a spring, like on a spring lock weedless hook,
mm-hmm,
and I put that in there, and then I screw the bait onto that. I
so
just stick it on there
secure.
And screw it on, and I use an assist hook off the eye of the lead head with a ring, and I tie the ring to that, and it is 100% hookup rate on the sinks.
They all go
for a headshot, and they get that right in their mouth.
Interesting.
That's a good call.
Wow.
And probably never shaking it loose because
No. They're
not using the bait to leverage that thing around.
Right. And something else is that you could use that when fishing sand bass or deeper water calicos with a smaller weight, maybe a 1-ounce head. And a lot of times when you're fishing that big bait, you'll be dropping down to eat with reds, and you'll get bit, and you set the hook, and you got it off for a second, and it comes off. And what it is they're down there and they're eating that bait head first, and the hook is pointed in the wrong direction when you come tight.
Sure.
So it just pulls it backwards
sense.
Out of their mouth the second they open it up. With the assist hook, they're always getting hooked.
That's a good
call.
Idea. And
yeah,
I'll bet that spring holds the bait on so well, too. Like,
I'll use
you're not getting your pants pulled down.
No,
ever.
Yeah.
And those big Cory slugs are so dense, you know, I mean, they're so strong, like you're not, you know, yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah,
man.
And the reason I started doing that in the first place was because for cod is, you know, you drop all the way down, you get bit, you swing, you miss it, and you feel your pants getting pulled down.
Oh,
man, that's wasted that perfect drop. But this way you could just, you know, keep fishing. And I don't fish this bait slowly.
Yeah.
I drop it, let it hit the bottom, I'll pop it up a few times with the rod tip, and I'll take 10 fast lines with the reel, throw it back in freeze. Well, a lot of times, reds especially, they'll come 20 feet off the bottom, 30 feet off the bottom, eat that bait, and then it goes back in freeze pool.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
well,
cool, man.
Well,
that's
as you can hear, we have some,
a good one there.
Some hot tips for you on Let's Talk Hookup this morning with Mr. Lansfield.
No doubt, and certainly a lot of fun. Like I say, having a guy that just loves it and does all kinds of it and a great wealth of info and a fantastic writer. Man, we look forward to hearing from you. If you got questions, we would love to have you today. Give us a call on Let's Talk Hookup at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Or shoot us a text. The text the show option becomes hugely popular here at Let's Talk Hookup. The only way to text in your questions is via the Let's Talk Hookup app. Also, it's the easiest way to listen to and participate with Let's Talk Hookup. You can catch past shows. If you want to go back and hear a hot tip just like that on your drive home from work, you can fire off the app, listen to all the archive shows. Great way to do it. And, again, the only way to text your questions into Eric today, that's through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Make sure that you include your contact info for when you do it, too. It's not like a normal text message where your number just pops right up. We need to have your contact info so we can get a hold of you if you're the lucky winner that wins the big prize. And what a killer prize, Eric. Eric, so generous, brought in a killer offering for one of our lucky callers or texters, and we'll determine at the end of the show. You're basically going to get a full one-year FishDope.com membership, also going to win a killer BD swag pack, so a really killer prize for one of our lucky callers or texters at the end of the show. When we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. We got catch reports and a lot of good info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the MyEar 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, ULoan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing to the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at CedrosSportFishing.com.
This is Captain Dwayne Diego, Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Visual signs are one of our most important aspects to our charter fishing business. It's the reason myself and all of our crew all wear Costa sunglasses. With advanced polarization technology, Costa is designed to help cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color and comfort to help you see more fish. Costa was founded over 35 years ago by a group of fishermen wanting high-performance lenses for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your pursuit. Check them out at CostaSunglasses.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Going to be so much fun with Eric. Again, well, you said it best, a true wealth of knowledge for this type of fishing. Going to be a lot of fun.
So I want to research that, because I love cod fishing too, setup you're talking about. So you have your own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And how do you find it?
It's just Eric Landesfind, just my name. If you just type in E-R-I-K space L-A-N-D, it pretty much comes up because they're a pretty unique name.
Yeah.
But it'll be somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome.
I want to look at that rig because that sounds cool.
It doesn't take long for a light bulb to go off. Like that's unique. That's different.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones. People want to talk to Eric, and boy, lots of texts coming through too.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Again, if you want to get through, reach us on the phones. That's 213-432-1090. We're going to start it off with Bruce, who's calling us from Lemon Grove this morning. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. My question is, I was down Cedros using the bigger baits. I just noticed that the barb didn't come up as much as the other ones. I got lots and lots of bites, but it was hard to set the hook with those. Do you have any kind of recommendation or technique for doing that?
Are you referring to the weedless baits?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so basically since the hook is not readily exposed on those baits, when you get a bite on that, you want to pause for a second. And if you can see the fish eat it, wait till they turn their head before setting the hook. If you can't see the fish eat it, you just pause for maybe a second or two, and then you can even drop your rod tip towards them a foot or two and then come tight, and that'll give them an opportunity to turn away.
If there's that is the hardest thing to do.
It really is. I fail at it all the time.
Me too. Yeah.
They're fishing a buzzbait. You got to just feed them.
You know, yeah.
Feed them
just
a teeny bit.
Let them eat it, right? And like, you go, I go fishing with Corey.
Yeah.
And it's like, let them eat it. Let them eat it.
Yeah, I get too excited.
That's why I can't fish the slug. Because the slug is even more so. Like, I'm with you, Bruce, for sure. The weedless is not a guaranteed thing. There's certainly a little technique to it. The slug, I got some of the raddest bites of my life with that thing. I can't hook a fish with that lure to save my life. And like you say, you watch Corey do it. He's just a master at it. But, like, man, that is a...
But the weedless is a little easier. Right.
Right. It's something, you know, if you're fishing in an area that doesn't have a ton of kelp, you can put an assist hook. So basically where your hook comes out of the top of the bait, loop an assist hook on there, and that will hang down by the tail of the bait. And a lot of times you'll get tail biters, you'll get them, and you'll get a better hook set. The problem with it is that it's no longer completely weedless.
It's not weedless, yeah. So what kind of assist hook?
Yeah, Gamagatsu, whatever, you know, like a
oh, just any
foro,
kind of
any
normal
kind of
assist hook.
Any kind of assist hook, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's a good call, too, man.
Yeah, I
like it.
He's got some hot tick. Techniques.
No doubt about that, for sure.
Sure, you got to have a great text.
Yeah, we got a fun one that came through from Alex in San Carlos. Says, good morning, Eric. When it comes to bluefin, you often hear that the first guys in the water get bit, and are often the first guys to get bit. If so, when fishing on a sport boat, which I know you've got a lot of background in, is it best to cast your bait as the boat's trying to get into position to slide in with the chum, or is it better to wait until the boat stops and the chum starts to develop? What are your suggestions? That's from Alex in San Carlos.
All right, so basically the moment the boat stops and they're chumming, the fish are going to be, if they come up and they bite, they're going to come up off the stern where they're chumming. So if I were to fish a sport boat and we're stopping on bluefin, I'm going to try and butt hook a sardine and get it off the, you know, do an underhand cast off the downwind corner or the upwind corner, and then just everybody, you know, they normally do that tuna shuffle. So from the first, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of the stop, I would fish a butt hook sardine off the back of the boat. But once the boat's in an actual drift, I will take all my baits up to the bow and make a cast off there also with a butt hook bait, because as the boat drifts, they normally drift stern first or, you know, quarter into it, and that the chum that went out 20 minutes ago is all off the bow now, and those fish will hang up there, and you don't have all the other lines to compete with.
Good idea. Yeah, really good idea. Well, if you want to get through on the phones, they're starting to pack up. They're going to be busy this morning, I promise you. 213-432-1090. Open right now.
All right, let's jump back into it and talk to Jeff. Jeff's calling us from Mission Viejo this morning. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, great show. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to Cedros next week. Can you make a recommendation on your favorite calico setup? Rod, VO, line, etc. Thank you very much.
Great question.
I have a few different setups depending on what application I'm using. Down there, you're going to fish mostly heavier and bigger baits and stuff. I would bring basically, well, last time I went to Cedros, I brought 3 rods. I brought a jig stick. You know, I would take as long of a rod as they'll let you have on that plane you're going on, but I think I took a 9-footer or an 8-footer. And I put a 10-fathom 25 narrow on there, star drag with 80-pound braid. You know, you can do 60 or 80-pound leader. That's also going to be your yellowtail setup down there. Bring some, some Taddy Starmans or the Taddy 45 or Salus 7X and any kind of mint and white mint color. pardon me. For weedless, I always fish a graphite composite rod. You know, in the previous caller talked about not hooking these fish, that glass tip on a graphite composite rod gives you a little bit of a shock absorber when you get a bite and you don't tend to pull the bait out of the fish's mouth. But I'll match that with a Penn Fathom 400, 65-pound braid, 60-pound fluorocarbon leader, and a 7-inch MC weedless, probably on a 3/4-ounce Trocar. Is it a beast hook? Or no, that's an owner beast hook. Whatever the normal weedless hooks are.
I think they just call it a weighted hook.
Right. And then you're on a heavier hard bait setup. So you go with like any heavy graphite 710. That's your normal, just your standard heavy. Shimano makes them, all the Thiowa, everybody makes something like that. With a 300 size reel, I fished that Penn Fathom again, low profile, with 50-pound braid and probably 40-pound leader on that. And that's going to be for your SP minnows, your Lucky Craft, bigger 190s, things like that. So that'll pretty much cover all your bases.
You have a hard bait rod, a weedless swim bait rod, and a jig rod.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid.
Got it covered, yeah, for sure.
The one thing I was curious, and you know, I mean, it sounds like it's funny. Like it seems like when people get to the level of bass fishing that Eric enjoys, because Corey's the same way. Like when Corey, you know, I always had fun. We had a lot of fun last weekend talking about Cedros. Like the leadhead and swim bait fishing down there is just incredible, best in the world. Corey wouldn't even know that it existed. Like, Corey makes, in my opinion, the very best, you know, leadhead swim bait lures in the world. Doesn't
fish. Viejo, man. It's the best.
Doesn't fish them at all. Like, weedless.
Yeah. Weedless or bust.
Weedless or nothing. And I was thinking about Bruce's call there. Like, I really like fishing that 7-inch Viejo down there. Such a good lure to fish with. One of the issues that we were having on our trip, it's a Cadillac problem, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of rubber in that lure. A lot of fish get hooked, and that bait is trailing outside of them, and you see the cloud of fish falling on and grabbing hold of the tail and poof and popping the tail off all the time. Is there any, I mean, do you just high five your buddy and say that was cool seeing that cloud of fish come up? Is there any way to get around anything like that? Like, what's the, you know, how does one combat that, or do you not? That's just a great problem. Like,
you throw the iron.
Yeah.
Good answer. And I know they don't make them anymore, but if you can get a hold of a Shimano wax wings, I'm sure you could find them somewhere on eBay or whatever. So that lure down there is fantastic, because if fish is weedless, it's a clean lure. You don't have multiple hooks. So one of the problems with fishing the hard baits too, you got two sets of hooks. You come up with bass, they're all tangled up in it. You got two bass on there, and it's just a pain in the butt to.
Yeah.
It's a low percentage thing there. So I'll go with the cleanest way I can fish. If it's a wax wing or a service iron, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
It's funny. Wax wing is like an unfair thing. When it came out, there was so much promotion behind it, and some people just. It was like wanted to be used for everything in the world, and then some people shied away from it, and then it just kind of lost its lackluster. And then you see it now, like guys like you know, you're saying Benny Florentino, you know, I know Uncle Al the same way. Like
Uncle Al loves the.
There's guys that have the ability to use anything in the world, and just like Eric's saying, like there's a time and a place where that is still the best thing available, yeah. But it's just kind of fallen from grace and not as easy
to
get a hold of.
Discontinue it. Did they or?
Yeah.
I know that a majority of it was. It might be completely discontinued at this point. Like I know
there's some around.
In the latter part of its time, I know it like just got whittled down to a couple of sizes and a couple of colors, and that might be completely gone too. I'm just not sure.
As far as colors go and sizes go, I think it's like a 118 junior or something in bone or mint white is the. It's really all you need.
Yeah.
That and I swear, that was when we did those Tony Reyes trips. That, like, the brightest, obnoxious, that same size, that, you know, a bright pink one and a bright chartreuse yellow one, I don't think that there was a better Cabrilla lure made at the time. You could burn it super fast, it wiggled really good, and it had a good set of hooks on it. Those Cabrilla ate the bejesus out of it. It was such a good lure for that.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Cedros sport fishing, I heard from Rosie that our dates are set for next year. So if you want it, they're same dates, basically, early July, early August. So if you want to get in on the Let's Talk Hookup Trip Cedros sport fishing, .com, call Rosie right away because those trips absolutely fill up instantly.
Yeah, same thing happened last year. I mean, it was full. It was full damn near as the trip.
But the dates are set, so if you want to go, I haven't posted them on our Let's Talk Hookup.com trips page yet, but I will this week, and they'll go very, very quickly. Hey, let's head south. Speaking of south, down to Rancho Leonero. Our buddy John Ireland's on the line. Buenos dias, John.
Morning, T. Hello, Rick, Eric.
Morning, John.
Well, morning.
Speaking of wax wings, they're deadly for the gallos. They really work well for the rooster fish off the beach. I think they're our premier cast lure off the beach for sure. For sure, guys to bring them are catching the gallos. We're enjoying the warmer water this week, 86 to 88 degrees, and it's been raining almost all week, on and off all week. You know, pleasant rain, you know, not really dumping on us, so the washes aren't really opening up too badly. It's real green. It's nice and cooler than normal, you know. The highs yesterday was 87 degrees, which for us in August is pretty darn cool. Very, very pleasant. Fishing has been really, really good. The real news this week is bait's been tough all year, and we're finally getting lots and lots of sardine and caballito, and that's kind of changing the bite now, especially on the tuna. The boats aren't ranging far out to find the porpoise. They're just running along. There's some balls south of Pomo Park and one actually just off of Rincon there that are producing fish. They're drift fishing the sardine and picking up limits of a yellowfin 10 to 30 pounds. Big Dorado again this week. Gosh, you guys, you know, 30, 40 pounders are just common. Big bulls. It's been a real good Dorado year. Billfish, lots of billfish, both mixed, now stripers mixed with sails. A few blacks. We haven't seen many blues, but a few blacks all being released. Multiple releases for people that are targeting them. Big rooster fish, gosh, big gyos, all the season long. You know, 50-pounders are common, and there's a few up to 70, 80 pounds that are being released, some really, really big rooster fish. The good bite continues, you guys. It's been a great season.
Oh, fantastic, awesome. John. Hey, we had a question from the text, the show option of Let's Talk Hookup, and he says, good morning, I'm going to Rancho Llanero next week, and I would like to know, what would you bring, and would you bring your own rods and reels and tackle? And that's from Tim. What do you think, John? Bring your own or use the ranch stuff, or what do you use?
You know, the ranch has got really good equipment, and it's pretty expensive bringing your own stuff down. It's nice to fish your own equipment, no doubt about it. What I suggest people do is pack their reels in their bag, in their check bag, not carry them. They won't allow you to bring them if they have a line on them. And we'll marry it up to a nice rod, and you're in business.
But that's what I do. Yeah, that's a great. What about tackle? What, do you need to bring marlin lures or wahoo lures, that kind of stuff? Is it a good idea to bring a few?
Yeah, a CD18 Rapala, one or two CD18 Rapalas, because the wahoo are out there. They haven't been real. People haven't really been going for them. You got to fish the banks and you got to put the Rapalas out and run them. A lot of bite offs though, so the wahoo are still around. So if you wanted to bring one lure, I suggest bringing the Rapala, and they're hitting those CD18s pretty consistently.
All right. There you go, Tim, and have a great trip to Rancho Llanero. I also want to throw out a big happy birthday to your wife, Jen. Tuesdays are a big birthday, and happy birthday, Jen.
That's cool. Happy birthday.
Yeah, this is big birthday week, Pamela, as well, and you too, Pete.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, don't remind me. Here we go. Hey, anyway, John, if somebody wants to come down to Rancho Llanero, how do it?
Thanks, Pedro. It's 800-646-2252 or RanchoLanero.com.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
All right. Very good. I have a great text here from Eric, and he was wants to know, talking about, and this is a really good question for Eric, and it's from Joe in Santa Cruz, all the way up in Santa Cruz area. And he says, good morning, Eric. I was hoping for you to talk a little bit about reading the water offshore and what you like to look at when you go into the zone, both virtually and on your electronics. It's a really good question there, Joe.
Yeah, visually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Too bad we don't have 2 hours just to talk about
it. Yeah, right? that's it.
So basically, you know, before you head out on any trip, you know, let's say I plan to fish offshore next Saturday. My looking at what's going on starts today. I check the SST, I check the chlorophyll charts, and I look for water trends. And I'm not looking for anything specific right off the bat, but if I'm going to run out to the ridge below Clemente, I'm going to check what that water is. I'm going to check in every day when there's a clear shot, take a look at what's going on there, and see if there's any defined edges of either current or SST, which would be the temperature, or the color. And if there's a defined edge, that means we have a current break there that is going to be aggregating bait fish. Basically, when there's a current break, water is moving against water that's not moving, or water is moving in two different directions, and that creates eddies along the edge of it that aggregate plankton, and bait fish come in and feed on that. So if there's a hard edge somewhere, and it's stationary for more than, you know, and it doesn't break up, that's going to be your best percentage spot on where those fish are going to be found, somewhere along that edge. Now you look at your chart, and you relate that to a piece of structure, let's say the Clemente Ridge, and let's say there's a break just above the 43 that, you know, maybe goes up 2 or 3 miles in a week, but maintains. That's probably your highest percentage spot to find fish when you get out there. And the mistake a lot of guys make based on being offshore fishermen in Southern California is we always look at the clean side of every break or the warm side of every break. With these bluefin, and more often than not, they're going to be in the dirty water or the colder water just because that's they're weird. I mean, I've caught them in water that was so dirty, I didn't even see the fish of color until my leader knot was out of the water on a 5-foot leader. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's what you do. And then when you go out, you want to, you know, so when you get onto water and you get out there, the minute you get out of the harbor, I check my water temp, and I keep checking my water temp. I look down every 20 minutes, every 10 minutes sometimes if I'm getting close to a fishing zone. I'm looking for more than a, you know, 0.3 degree temperature change can indicate a current break. Offshore, some of it bounces up a little bit more than that, but if it jumps suddenly, even like a degree or half a degree, you know, you ran over something. And what I'll do then is I'll look into water color change. What else is different? Are there any birds around this break here? And you just kind of narrow water down, just like you do with the calico bass and the kelp. You rule out stuff, you refine your game plan, and you start putting things together.
There you go. All right. Good question. Hey, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it. We're going to talk to Ben. He's calling from Carlsbad this morning. Benjamin, good morning, Ben. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Rick. Morning, Corey. Eric, you guys, man, I don't even need my coffee when you guys are on. You're so good. anyway, I was just my question is different between nighttime and daytime fishing for calico. And, Eric, what was your biggest Cali, and what did you catch it on? That's my question.
Good question.
Yeah.
Nighttime, daytime, biggest calico.
Right, okay, yeah. So, you know, during the day I just fish weedless swim baits and some hard baits. So I've also been fishing a Lucky Craft DD100 pointer a lot lately on lighter line if it's just fun fishing or if I'm fishing calicos at an island and fishing shallow and stuff like that.
Do you fish those bigger Lucky Craft, like the mags, the 190?
No. The one I fish is the 100 pointer. It's about 4 inches long.
Oh, okay.
And I fished on a 15-pound fluorocarbon line.
Oh, wow.
And what's fun about it is you cast that lure up shallow, and I've got fish to about 8 pounds on it.
Woo.
But, you know, it's out. You honestly don't know if you're going to be able to land those fish. Yeah. I mean, you come back, and the back hooks are ripped off the bait and everything else. That's the fun part about it.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, we're kind of specialists in everything we do. We're very particular about it'd be a tuna or calicos or rock cod or anything. I like to fish a certain way. I don't really care so much about the results. But when fishing at night for calicos, if I'm fishing them in deeper water, like in an artificial reef or something, I'll fish a slug on a lead head just like I do for rockfish, but a lighter head, maybe 3/4 ounce or 1 ounce. And just even when it's dark, they'll bite that burning up off the bottom and drop it in the freeze pool. They have those lateral lines that pick up that motion really well, so you don't have to be all dragging something with scent on it or anything like that.
Scent? Do you use scent?
No.
Okay.
And do bass bite is good at night? Do they bite better? Do they bite worse? Or is it completely condition related?
It's condition related. Yeah, they there's not a lot of great places to fish bass at night other than some of the artificial reefs and or a break wall. A break wall can be as difficult as PV kelp to find biting fish on. So you know you need to really have an idea what's happening there, and that's a little bit too long of a topic to do.
Yeah. Same deal, just miles of similar structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as my biggest bass go, I really haven't weighed a lot of. I've caught some real nice ones. I caught one at Clemente last year, the year before, that I think was probably, you know, it's a don't weigh it, don't say
yeah.
it. It was well over 10 pounds, but
wow.
We didn't have a scale on it. But we actually bought a scale after that trip to the
bathroom.
I know how you are. I know what the mystique is. I know all the other. Cut the BS out of it. Just you and your bud drinking beer. How big was that fish, you think?
I would say 11 plus.
That's cool.
Ooh,
that's cool.
That's
and
good.
I know
that's
what you're saying. I get it. I get the whole thing. Wait,
yeah.
I know. But you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So where do the biggest bass live? On the coast or at Clemente? Or at Cali?
No,
that's a good question.
I think the potential for the biggest bass would probably be Santa Cruz Island. I haven't seen one there that big yet. There's been fish caught close to 10 pounds during tournaments. But those fish up there are a different shape than the fish down here.
Okay.
And they're very stocky. We had a tournament up there where we had a really good crankbait bite, and we're just throwing these things on, bouncing our crankbait rods, throw them in the tank. I'm like, yeah, we have maybe 21 pounds. And then we go to the scale, and we have almost 28 pounds because those bass are just a different body style.
Square.
So I think that, you know, there's a potential for, you know, real big ones up there. But I had a fish at Clemente. I was fishing with Jimmy a couple of years ago. We're up by Castle Rock, and I was throwing a big Seville stick shad, and I had a fish come up, and I had it on for a bit. Jimmy saw it bite and thought I'd hooked a yellowtail, but it was a calico bass, and I don't know. It might have been 15 or 16 pounds.
Oh,
I lost it. So there's big ones that come in. 10 feet from the boat.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't even know what to do. It was like, I mean,
look at the size of that thing.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was a Cabri or something.
Yeah, right. That's like a broom tail. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to check in with the catch report, find out what's biting up and down the beach, and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. This is Rock Cod Rick for Adventure in Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer, or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure in Camping park it for you. It's simple. Check out their website, adventureincamping.com, select from over 75 campgrounds they serve, decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs, request a quote for your desired vacation dates, then just show up and start your adventure. Dallas and I did exactly that, and it was incredible. We chose a beautiful mammoth area campground. Adventure in Camping delivered the trailer to our spot. We showed up, enjoyed a clean, spacious trailer without any of the hassle. When it's time to go home, we just closed the door and drove away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure in Camping is for you. Check out adventureincamping.com for details. Make sure to mention Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special 20% off offer, but this special won't last long, so go to adventureincamping.com today.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When you want to catch big bluefin tuna, you need Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is Saltwater Tackle Professionals. The Shimano Beastmaster is the pinnacle of electric reels. Shimano's Gigamax motor packs a winding strength up to 250 pounds, ideal for kite fishing and more. Shimano's Butterfly Flatfall Jigs are irresistible to bluefin tuna because they stay in the strike zone longer. Shimano makes a complete line of Butterfly Flatfall Jigs to target your favorite game fish. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup.
It's time to talk about Shimano.
Yeah,
and let's talk about great products from Shimano. We're talking calico bass and one reel is all you can say is tranks.
Oh, man. I mean, they just did such a good job with that reel. For a low-profile reel that is incredibly user-friendly, the cast control system, both the variable braking system they put in that reel is just... You can take a person who has very little knowledge of casting a conventional style reel, dial that thing way up, and put it in their hands, and as long as they get the very basics of finger off, finger back on, that reel is going to perform incredibly well in the world of no backlash. And then as an angler becomes more proficient with their casting, you start to back those casting breaks back off, and you'll start to see the distance increase. And, I mean, it's just a great tool to bring somebody up in the world of casting conventional reels.
For sure. And the Tranx 500 is the world's best surface iron casting reel for me anyway. I gotta tell you, I mean talk about the DC and the 20 and the Trinidad, great reels, but for me, I love that Tranx 500.
Again, when it comes to user-friendly casting, there isn't anything nicer for it. Yeah, it stacks the line great, and it casts really, really good.
Hey, check it out. Shimano Tranx at your local Shimano dealer.
Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It is time for our catch report today, sponsored in part by the top anglers, knowing that the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like their G-Box 3200? It's a reversible utility case for easy tangle free jig storage. Gamakatsu also makes a killer line of lead heads. They've got a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com and just check your local Gamakatsu dealer. We're going to head on up to Dana War Sport Fishing. Talk to the man, Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick. What's up, Eric? How are you, man?
What's up, buddy? Doing good.
Very good, Brian.
Good. good stuff this morning. You're giving away the secrets on the wax wings.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's going to be a rush on wax wings here, huh?
I know. We had some people call the office last week trying to see if we had some of those. And those are long gone. Those are all in our tackle box. Yeah. So, anyways, hey, a good week up here. You know, weather for the most part was good. We had some funky south wind yesterday. It was a little bizarre, but we'll take that. Not that big of a deal. But the half-day boats fishing bass along some stretches here from San Clemente up through Dana Point. You know, some action on the live baits. We have like a 5-inch live sardine right now. Those are getting some bites, but the best action for us came off the small rubber lures, like the 3-inch swim baits or the 5-inch flukes on a lead head or, you know, like a dart head type deal. Those lures were small. They kind of look like an anchovy, so they fish like an anchovy. So some good action for the guys throwing those, and then some nice sheephead and some sculpin and things like that coming off the dropper lead setups for the guys with the heavier sinkers. Three-quarter days, we're still kind of like a dual target type of deal. You know, in the mornings, we're getting out off the beach looking for kelp, fishing that Dorado, and then the afternoons when the conditions on the inside kind of straighten out, we're getting in on the beach and fishing that bass. So same deal on the three-quarter with that bass action as the half-day. It's a little on the tougher side, to be honest, but it's still, if you can fly line a bait properly, stay on top of changing your bait as, you know, you really need to, and, you know, you have a nice little arsenal of rubber lures, you can get some bites and do just fine on that bass. But as far as this offshore stuff goes, you know, it's been a great opportunity. I mean, Eric, have you ever seen the Dorado in these big spots like we're seeing? I can't remember ever seeing it like this. This is crazy, the amount of fish that's out there.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm talking to guys that have been way, you know, in this way longer than me, and they've never seen anything like it. So, you know, if you're the first boat to roll up on a kelp in the morning, you have a chance of catching a few fish for sure. But gosh, it seems like the better biting fish has been way off the kelps, at least for us. And I think that's true with a lot of the other guys. You know, some of these schools, like I say, have been just giant. And, you know, you roll on some of these breezers, these little, like, legit foamers of Dorado, you know, they kind of act like bluefin. They don't all just, you know, want to come to the boat and bite. They're kind of all in that real small anchovy. But if you can get some that are kind of loose and apart on one of those breezers, they'll come to the boat, and it's been pretty good. So we'll continue to fish this stuff as long as we're seeing it, and it, you know, kind of remains in our range. We'll keep that on our plate for sure. And then some more yellowtail shutoffs for the Fury over at Clemente. They kind of, you know, backed off some of that kelp patty stuff. Some of the charters wanted to fish the island, so he's been there at Clemente. Flyline sardines and the surface iron accounted for that yellowtail over there. And it's kind of varied in size from like 12 to 25 pounds, so it's still, you know, no slouchy grade by any means. It's good stuff. And then plenty of bass fishing over there. That bass fishing kind of kicked up again for those guys. And then finally, our small six-pack boat fleet that are wanting to make the run for that bluefin got out to that zone and caught some fish again this week. But, you know, they're starting to see some of that fish moving again, so it's getting a little bit closer. They don't have to make that longer run, so we'll see how that kind of shakes down through this next week for us. So if you guys want to hop on a boat, we do have trips. In fact, we have the Dana Price fishing offshore tomorrow, 5 to 5. They've got spots, and $150 gets you on the boat. So if you want to make yourself a three-day weekend, you know, ditch work tomorrow, they got spots. So call the landing here, our phone number, 949-496-5794, or you can check us out on the web, too, at danawharf.com.
Awesome. Well, great report as always, man.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
And to be able to go out on a 5 to 5 right now, try and find that around right now.
Especially so
you better jump
like
for $150.
That's
you better jump
sweet.
On it. Yeah.
Willie, great Welcome report, buddy. Always appreciate it. Right, thanks guys. For keeping us up to date at Dana, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good stuff this morning. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Willie.
All right. Let's go down to Sagos Sport Fishing. Jeff Flowers, I believe, is on island. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a great show this morning.
Thanks.
You still hey, down there, Jeff? You back home?
Nope. Got home yesterday and still power in Advil. Well, I'll tell you, you know, it was good. Again, great fishing down there. You know, everything is just firing on all eight cylinders. So we had a little bit of a breezy period for a couple of days. We ended up just fishing the north end of the island up and down the lee side. Calicos are going nuts. Personal experience, and some others had the same experience, where fishing the 7X meant doing that fast crank, seeing yellows come up, following the jig, you know, leaving trails behind it, and just as they're coming up to put a hook on the hook, a 4 or 5 pound calico will muscle that big 30 pound yellow out of the way, and you end up catching a nice calico 7, 8, 10 feet from the boat. So, yeah, there's just all kinds of life going on down there. So we also got a chance to fish that big flat kelp up on the north end and trying those big, giant, long swim baits, setting that weedless up, throwing it on top of the carpet and dragging it right off the edge, and bam, just, you know, nice fish after nice fish until we ran out of plastic. So all around, great fishing down there. South end is still producing a lot of big fish. And a suggestion on the tackle is if you're going to go down there and fish at Sadro Sport Fishing, take 50-pound minimum for the yellowtail. 60 is preferred because there's, you know, sharp rocks down there. And on the calicos, we were fishing them on 40 pounds so we could drag them out. So Butte Dorado showed up this week, and Rosie was just showing me a picture of one that was caught by a friend of mine, Jeff. And it was a nice big oval Dorado. So we saw some swimming. We had a couple this last week. But all in all, you know, great fishing, standing there, you know, talking with your buddies, drinking beer, making memories.
Sounds good to me. Man, yeah, right. Gotta love it. Well, if somebody wants to book a trip, are there still spots available for this season? And like I said, it's not too early to book for next season. Rosie's already got our dates for next year's Let's Talk Hookup trip. You better get on them, right?
Absolutely. If you're thinking, stop thinking and start doing. So she does have a couple of trips that are left open. Season's starting to wind down. Obviously, the, you know, end of October is coming quickly. And there are some spots that are open, twos and threes, even four spots. So come on down, visit us, see how good we are personally instead of hearing about it from everybody else on the radio, and build memories in that memory book. So you can reach her at sadrosportfishing.com. Take a look at what's on the website for schedules and give her a call. She's up wandering around. She's actually on the computer right now. I can look over and see her. She's
always
booking trips. So
sounds great.
Always working. Reach her on her cell phone at 619-772-7570. Come on down with Sadro Sport Fishing and build some memories.
Great job, buddy. Appreciate it very much, Jeff. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. Hey, that's going to wrap up our catch sport today. Hey, I want to remind you, it's time to hit the beach. For all your surf fishing needs, check out surffishtackle.com. Also, CCA California and Bill Varney are teaming up again this summer for several of the on-the-beach surf fishing clinics. You'll find all the details at fishthesurf.com. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great info with Eric. You stay tuned. It's Southern California's sport fishing voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090. ESPN Radio.
Hey guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and BD Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
The Islander out of Fisherman's Landing has some exciting news. Due to a recent schedule change, they have added several new trips September through November. The Islander has been sold out all season, so now you have the opportunity to get on a day and one half or 3-day trip now in prime time aboard one of the top boats in the fleet. All trips include fantastic meals, stateroom accommodations, and a top-notch fishing experience. Book your fall trip now on the Islander at Fisherman'sLanding.com.
The future comes standard at your San Diego County Ford dealers, so swing on by and check out the legendary Ford F-150, the smart and capable Ford Ranger, and the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. New inventory is arriving daily, and your San Diego County Ford dealer is here to help you build and order the truck or SUV of your dreams. Want to make sure you get the right truck to tow your boat? They'll help you order the right configuration to meet your needs. Want to make sure you get the right SUV to haul your gear on your next adventure? They've got you covered there, too. Escape, Edge, Bronco Sport, Explorer, and Expedition. They've got the SUV that's perfect for you. If it isn't on the lot, they'll order it and get you exactly what you need. They want your trade. So swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see all the great deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com. We'll be right back.